Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, good morning. Okay, Key, good morning.
What's happening, man? I just was trying to listen to the music.
Heard it on Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. On the way in, Duke advances to the Sweet 16. Before we get into your alma mater, Jay, Jersey, number hanging in the rafters, two-time player of the year, national champion, all that.
Before Jersey. Big weekend for Jersey overall.
But before we get into that, how your brackets doing, guys? How your brackets doing?
I'm good. I'm still in a good position. You're slightly
so
better
jacked
than me, which is...
I don't think... How is that possible?
I can't... Rhyme or reason can't answer that for me.
All right, so here's
I'm
where
good.
We are. Yeah, you're good. You know,
I mean, I picked USC to win the championship. What else am I going to do?
Right, yeah. I found out this morning you actually believe
to win the championship.
I found out this morning my bracket was better than yours.
You
I
thought was going to win either, did you, Jay?
I did. I picked Arizona.
You thought Duke was going to win?
No, I picked Arizona to win it. Yep, see? See how when you try to set me up and I clap back real quick?
That's not good. See, I couldn't. I couldn't pick another team other than USC. I went to USC. I can't. That's like, why would you pick Arizona? You went to Duke, man.
He won a national title with Duke playing basketball. Key, you have 370 points, which puts you last among the three of us. Again, I can't believe there's anyone whose bracket is worse than mine right now. But you've done it. Three of your four final teams are remaining, but your champion, SC, lost in the first round. Jay got 390 points. All four, Jay, of your final four teams are remaining. You have Arizona winning it all. That was a popular pick this year.
Yep.
Jay can, you know, Arizona survived a tough one last night.
Survive in advance. There's a reason why that's the name.
I try to stay up for that one. That was a mistake.
No, not going to. Struggle City.
Struggle.
How many points do you have?
I also have 390 points. I cannot
believe
it. I got Gonzaga and Kansas remaining, but I had Tennessee going all the way. They're out. So.
Tough loss. It would have been easy for me to pick Miami. But I'm not doing that. I'm not going against USC. It's just not going to happen ever in life.
We told you during the show on Friday that we thought – I told you to take the under, which the under hit. And I also told you that Miami – people have Miami favored in that
game.
But
I'm never going – that's not – I'm not built like that, Jay.
I'm not going against
the Trojans.
I feel
no matter what. It could be water polo. I know nothing about it. If USC is playing, I'm taking USC.
I'm with you.
Let's get into Duke beating Michigan State, shall we? Listen to your coach, Jay, Mike Krzyzewski, at the post-game presser.
I'm incredibly proud of my guys. You guys were terrific, man. I'm really proud to be your coach. You know, that it had nothing to do with coaching in those last 4 or 5 minutes. It all had to do with heart and togetherness. And they followed their hearts, and God bless them. You know, we're in the Sweet 16.
Jay, you said before the tournament started, one of the reasons you weren't higher on Duke is you believe this time of year you need guard play, a certain kind of toughness in your guard play. What did you see from Duke in this game? They were challenged. They were down late.
Well, first off, for me, it was a trifecta. Duke won the game. They covered. And I also hit the over. So it was a good night last night. Me and my daughter, my family, my dad came in, all watching it. And
I love, Key, you hear how Jay just combined good, wholesome family time.
Yes, with gambling and betting. It all works in unison, guys.
I see.
It makes the overall experience watching the tournament even better. Yeah. But my freshman year, I cannot tell you guys how difficult it was being an extension of your coach on the floor, being a point guard for Coach K. It was challenging for me not really playing the point guard position before to learn how to navigate. Is Max in the right place? Is Key in the right place? Has Max got enough touches? Has Key got enough touches? When am I going to get my touches? What's the time and situation? What play are we in? All that. So the whole first half of my first year, I was robotic, right? There was no feel to the game. I wasn't reactionary. And I think the same thing happened with Jeremy Roach. He didn't play a lot. And now we're seeing him in the starting lineup, and it finally feels like the game is becoming natural to him. He understands what is expected of him. And for him to have 15 points and make some huge shots down the stretch, yeah, I can give you good names like Paolo Banchero and Wendell Moore and Mark Williams. They gave you good plays. But the team is in this position because Jeremy Roach has stepped up and been a dynamic playmaker for them down the stretch when they need plays off the dribble. And that's the reason why Duke is in the Sweet 16.
And I know Coach K mentioned the fact that it's not about the coaching. It's about the grit, the toughness, and you know, basically perseverance and getting things done. But it is about coaching. Whenever you can recognize a guy like Roach who hadn't played, you know, all that much until down the stretch when they made the decision to go with him, that's coaching. That's understanding your personnel. And that's why he is the greatest coach of all times in the modern era that I could see. I know everyone would say, well, what about John Wooden? I wasn't around for that. I've only been around for this. And that is coaching. Whenever you can recognize your talent and know when to go to that talent in a situation like this, now you find yourself playing in another Sweet 16.
And Tom Izzo, like I give Tom Izzo a lot of credit. I spent time with him. You know, I left here to call one game. It was Michigan State versus Illinois. Illinois lost the other day, too. We'll get into that. But look, Tom Izzo's teams always play you hard, man. Like, defensively, they draw a line in the sand, and they fight. The game was a little bit more quicker tempo for them yesterday. But this team hasn't had the scoring punch. There's been some issues with them offensively staying alive. But look, you have to go through the gauntlet in order to win this thing. And the best teams don't always win.
Two things. One, when you talked about coaching, I thought Duke changed defensively down the stretch. Did you see anything that Coach K did where they fell down? It was pretty late in the game. I'm hearing Jay Will in my head talking about guard play. I actually thought – the other thing I want to say is Banchero was really good. Like, he would muscle it down low. He'd hit the outside shots.
Oh, yeah, muscle it down low. Just not settle for jumpers like he sometimes does. Yeah, because Coach K made plays to say, get your tail on the block and post up. Be a man.
So offensively, Banchero played tough. And defensively, did Coach K do anything defensively to change that game late? It looked to me like Duke clamped down.
Duke did clamp down defensively. But for me, it came down to Michigan State struggles to score the rock sometimes, man. Like, they go through these droughts in games that's been consistent with who they've been the whole year. They didn't have a guard that consecutively make big plays. Hager got in foul trouble, I think, which is huge for them. And I think when things like that happen, it creates difficulty for Michigan State to score.
See, something occurs to me as we're talking. Key, like how you always take SC. Jay, are you doing the reverse jinx thing a little bit?
What do you mean?
See, I can't see.
You don't
can't
have
even
to put
it.
That into the public
He can't say it out loud. Key, that's all it is. That's all it is. It's just he can't. I may have just blown it. If Duke now loses, it's my fault because I outed the reverse jinx from Jay.
Yeah, and then Evan, like during our pre-production show, was like, yeah, we're going to save this sound for when Coach K loses. I'm like, don't say that.
Right.
Don't say that.
My guy's 0-3 in NCAA tournament games in California. I'm just saying.
See, Jay, I don't any stat.
See, Key, Jay, I don't need that energy on Monday morning. I don't know.
No, you're a front runner, man. You're supposed to take Duke for everything.
Take Duke for everything. I just don't tell you
checkers,
what it is.
You're supposed to take Duke.
You can't put it out there. It's because the basketball gods will humble you in the tournament. You have to come in thinking, we're not going to do anything this year.
See what happened when you took USC? See?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd have won, right?
Yeah, right.
The other big story from the NCAA tournament is that for the second straight year and third time ever, a 15 seed is in the Sweet 16, and St. Peter's head coach, Shaheen Holloway, is he talking that talk? Some coaches, they open their mouth, you're like, I'd run through a brick wall for that guy. He's going to join us at 9:30 live today. All right, we're back in less than 2 minutes. Huge story in the NFL, and Deshaun Watson is why. He's on the move to Cleveland.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. The madness continues. Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network.
Doug Etter, there's the answer on the other end. St. Peter's back up.
I got guys from New Jersey and New York City. You think we scared of anything?
This is ESPN Radio.
So, 15 seed St. Peter's is in the Sweet 16. Shaheen Holloway, head coach, has St. Peter's in the Sweet 16 and is the favorite to leave for the Seton Hall job. St. Peter's is the first Jersey school in the Sweet 16 since Holloway led Seton Hall as a player to the Sweet 16 in 2000. Mm. By the way, coach is going to join us at 9:30. This is the second straight year we've seen a 15 seed in the Sweet 16. And just the third over, Oral Roberts did it last year in Florida Gulf Coast in 2013. But two.
Jump City.
Back to back. Why are we seeing so many double-digit seeds?
Dunk City. I said Jump City. I don't know why.
Make runs like this, Jay.
It's because you are having, like, these traditional blue blood programs. Think about this, Key. Like, back in the day, you used to see these incredible recruiting classes, the Fab Five. I mean, even my year in 1999, 2000, we had three NBA first-round draft picks in my recruiting class, right? You don't see these big-time classes anymore. So what you're seeing so much parity in college basketball because there's so many other avenues for kids to go, whether that be the G League. You're seeing that team in L.A., right? Overseas, you're seeing Overtime Elite, which is a high school basketball league in which kids are earning $150,000, $200,000. And now what you're seeing is these mid-major programs where kids – you know, these three-star, four-star recruits are going. They're staying around for 3 to 4 years, and they have an understanding of who they are going against some of these freshmen who aren't three or four power-time freshmen on the same team, and they don't know who they are. So, you know, look, for teams who are mature, they have a better chance of beating the younger, immature teams, even though they have a blue-blood jersey on their chest.
So for a team like St. Peter's going up against a more – you know, established team like a Purdue, that's where they're going to struggle at, in other words, Jay, because they're not veterans. I mean, they're not going up against the youth so much as they did early on in the tournament.
And Purdue has Jaden Ivey. He's a top 10 pick. They have sides. They're a veteran team. That's going to be a tough game for them because St. Peter's is undersized. But I'm just trying. Shaheen Holloway has something special. Sweet. Guess what high school he went to? St. Patrick's in New Jersey, the same one Kyrie Irving went to. Talk about guard play. Those are the kind of mentality guards that you have that come out of Jersey.
You don't come out of the game for making offensive mistakes. You come out of a game for making defensive mistakes on Holloway's team.
Yes, you came out of Jersey, ooh. Jay.
Yeah, Tri-State. You hear that, Yates? Right. Tri-State.
I mean, it's New Jersey. It ain't New York.
The Cleveland Browns are trading with the Houston Texans and acquiring quarterback Deshaun Watson.
I'm ecstatic that we signed Deshaun Watson, and I'm ecstatic because it's time for a new chapter. Deshaun Watson is a competitor. I'm pretty sure he's probably listening in to these radio stations to see how the city is embracing him, and I feel like this is what we should do.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Deshaun Watson has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. He's going to receive a new five-year, fully guaranteed, $230 million contract. It's a record for the highest guarantee ever given to an NFL player. This trade, Deshaun's trade.
Hoop money!
You know, then you stop to think Alex Rodriguez signed a $250 million fully guaranteed contract in baseball, I want to say 22 years ago or something like that. Oof. Anyway, Watson, the trade comes after a Texas grand jury declined to indict him on criminal charges stemming from lawsuits filed by 22 different women who have accused him of harassment and sexual assault. So we're going to cover the allegations and get a legal perspective on this from Amber Wilson in an hour. We're not going to ignore that side of the story.
Can't.
But because Amber will talk about it then, and we will cover it then with someone with legal expertise, the Browns got the show. And by the way, we have feelings about this. You know, everyone does. Has he really? He has 22 open civil cases. Is it time to make this deal yet? Should the league have waited, et cetera? We're going to get to all that. The Browns get Deshaun and a fifth-round pick. The Texans get three firsts, a third, and a fourth. It's one of the biggest trades in NFL history. In fact, I'm trying to remember a quarterback at this stage in his career who was this good on the field ever being traded.
No.
Three firsts, a third, and a fourth.
I just want to clarify. So Baker Mayfield was not part of the deal.
Baker Mayfield was not
part of the deal.
Let me ask you this, though.
Wow.
Let's say Deshaun is going to be suspended, given the outstanding open civil cases against him. Let's say it's an 8-game suspension based on historical precedent. I think Roethlisberger got 6 and got knocked down to 4. Let's say, and I don't mean to speak about this, you know, cynically or callously, but just like let's look at what is likely to happen. I think something in a framework of something like 8 games that gets knocked down to 6. So he plays in a 17-game season, 11 games. Is this the biggest move to impact? Is this the biggest impact move of the offseason, Key? Deshaun Watson for 11 games.
Yeah, I would say it is.
For this upcoming season only.
For this upcoming season. You probably started with Russell Wilson, right? Or did Tom come back before Russell? Whatever that timeline was.
Tom came back like wait a minute.
What did you say, Evan, in my ear? Okay, so then you figure with these different timelines, you got Wilson, Brady, Rodgers, but this is the last one to fall. Deshaun Watson's the last to fall. It's bigger than Adams, Devontae Adams moving over from the Raiders. You mentioned all of the compensation that was given up to the Texans for Deshaun Watson. In the end, the Cleveland Browns are betting those first-round picks are all in the late 20s down to the 32nd pick when they have to cash them in. That means Deshaun has led them to deep playoff runs and maybe even to a Super Bowl. And then on top of that, to give him a 5-year, fully guaranteed $230 million deal, I believe $48 million of that was new money on top of the old contract that came over from Houston. So certainly this is huge. Pair that with Amari Cooper. I mean, you got to think that the Cleveland Browns are in the driver's seat in that division if Deshaun Watson is the Deshaun Watson of 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
If he's that, you got to think they're going to win the
division. Which is a top 5
quarterback.
It's not even if right he's the same. Even if he's the same guy, by the way, that was before the ascent of Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. So even if he was, and if his play hasn't fallen off at all after a year off, or however many games he suspended on top of the year, there are 3 new quarterbacks in the mix now where there's kind of like a top 7. Yeah.
Your question, though, was this the biggest move of the offseason? And I would say no. It's a colossal move, but I still think Tom Brady retiring, unretiring, leads into a lot of speculative thoughts on his relationship with Bruce Arians and what else was going down and where he actually wanted to go, if that is the case. So I think that, number one, is the biggest offseason thing that's happened because of the storyline. I do think this is colossal, though. And it's interesting to me. A year ago, we had expectations for the Browns to be Super Bowl champions. They definitely fall in low of those expectations. But now you think with Deshaun Watson, just as it pertains on the football field, we will get into all the stuff off the field in due time. But the talent speaks for itself. And now you think with the running game that they have, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, now you think with Amari Cooper, the pieces, out of nowhere. Now you're looking at that whole division saying, damn, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. And then for the Steelers, Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah.
How does that name fit in?
It definitely throws that. Like, I thought it was an amazing move for the Steelers. And now it may be, you know, with Watson also in a division with Burrow and Lamar Jackson, it doesn't look as good to me. But Key, it's a really good question because I think it's hard to answer. If you just limit the scope to this upcoming season, Brady's back, but did he ever really retire? Rodgers never went anywhere. They just lost Devontae Adams. Even Russell Wilson maybe could be it, but the whole division got better. So now the Broncos getting Russell Wilson, if this were last year, you'd be like, oh my God, but that whole division gets better. So how much of a difference does it really make? Watson would be the answer to me.
This is the most polarizing.
Except it's only for however many games.
This is the most polarizing one.
This whole division in AFC North got better, though. The AFC West. Yep. It got better. You essentially put an MVP from 2 years ago, two seasons ago, you basically dropped an MVP into this division. Even though he didn't win the MVP, he could have won the MVP. Yeah. He was at that level. It's the biggest. Tom Brady's Tom Brady, right? I mean, that is what it is. And you look at it, Aaron Rodgers, as you said, Max went nowhere. They lost Devontae Adams. Russell Wilson moved teams. But based on everything surrounding Deshaun Watson, you package that up, it's the biggest news of the offseason.
They don't forget also, Bengals brought in offensive linemen, including Lyle Collins, who says, you know, your bodyguard's in town now, Joe Burrow. They revamped the offensive line at a very high level, and they're going to have those guys, you know, all year, one would think, you know, barring injury, knock wood. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Much more on this story and why the Browns went all in on Watson. But speaking of Cleveland, LeBron returns home tonight.
Ooh.
Two nights after reaching yet another milestone. That's next, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Download the podcast. We're on your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN. We're on ESPN, too. All right, it's time for the no huddle. Guys, we have to get you caught up on everything you need to know from the weekend. On Saturday, LeBron James moved into second all-time scoring, passing Karl Malone. LeBron now ranks second in points. Listen to this. Follow this. Seventh in assists and 39th in rebounds. Those are popular stats to track, right? So second and seventh and 39th combine to 48. In other words, if you take each as a number, 2, 7, and 39, add them all up, you get to 48. That's the lowest combined ranks in points, rebounds, and assists in NBA history. He passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is 49 years old. Wait, who's at 49 at 49 years old? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at 49 was the lowest of all time. Now LeBron at 48. Stats Incredible going. Is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Yeah, here's – what's that, Jay?
And he's still going.
Still going, and like still going strong. Here is LeBron on moving it to second all-time in scoring.
You know, just to be a part of this league for as many years as I've been a part of it and to be linked with some of the greatest that ever played this game, guys that I've either watched or studied or read about or inspired to be like – honestly, I was just lost for words for it. And, you know, it's an honor for myself, and for my hometown, and for my family, my friends, to be able to live these moments throughout this journey. And, you know, that's why exactly what I do it for. I do it for, you know, my family, my friends, my hometown, and anybody that's been a part of this journey throughout this this run so far.
Sometimes we get lost in all these debates, or we're talking about what the Lakers aren't doing, or we're talking about how will the last couple of years affect how you will ultimately view the legacy of LeBron James. Sometimes you just need to take a step back and just appreciate this man for the greatness that is right in front of your eyes and enjoy it for the time that you have it. Because at the age of 37 years old, he is averaging 30 damn points per game pretty much, 29.8, 8.2 rebounds, 6.4 assists, a true shooting percentage of 62% from the field at 37 years old. His name is still revolving around the MVP conversation. Just think about that. Just appreciate the damn greatness.
Came straight out of high school, had all those extra NBA miles, Olympics, everything. All right, Dave McMenamin's going to join us in about an hour for more on LeBron as he returns to Cleveland tonight. Staying on the hardwood in the NCAA tournament, we saw multiple upsets on Sunday, including 5-seed Houston beating 4-seed Illinois in the South region. Mild upset. The game appeared to turn when Illinois' R.J. Melendez threw down a dunk to cut Houston's lead to 4. But Melendez was called for a technical foul for swinging on the rim instead of hurting himself. Just his natural momentum. Here's Illini head coach Brad Underwood.
It's deflating. You make a play that changes momentum of a game, and then to have that called in that moment, and I can't wait to see it. He told me he should never have called it, but in the moment he calls it. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's personal. I don't know, but for that play to be called like that, when a kid's got a full head of steam going 100 miles an hour, and we all talk about safety and well-being of student athletes, come on. And then to kill momentum like that, horrible.
Yeah, so the Illinois Fighting Illini were down 6 points, and it's in a huge momentum shifter in this ball game. And here's my thing. Look, first off, the refereeing during March Madness thus far has been atrocious. In this game in particular, I give Houston a lot of credit. They deserve to win this game, but this was a game-changing play. Even lower your rim down to 5.5 feet and try to take a running start and dunk the ball. Like, when you say the word swinging means you dunk, your momentum brings you forward, then it brings you backward, and then you go forward again. That's swinging. But when you dunk with a full head of steam and your momentum brings you forward and you just come back and then you let go of the rim, that's not swinging on the rim. That should not have been called a technical foul. And I think the refs, I agree with Brad Underwood, afforded Houston a huge opportunity to move away in that ball game when it should not have been the case.
Look, at least the ref owned it afterward, according to coach, but that was a But that's as bad a call as you're going to see.
Agreed. Meantime, and who cares if you own it afterwards?
Yeah.
You're owning it after the fact we lost the damn game.
You blew it. Devontae Adams says goodbye to the Packers on Instagram after being traded away from the Packers to the Raiders late last week. All-pro wide receiver Devontae Adams took to Instagram on Saturday to thank the Packers organization, his teammates, and the city of Green Bay. He did not specifically thank Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Like some germs? Here's some germs. I'm spreading them, Key. Here's ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears on First Take.
Aaron Rodgers is the reason Devontae Adams is not there. This is not just this year, y'all. We talking about this trade because it just happened. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers not being wishy-washy with the Green Bay Packers for 2 years. And remember, let me remind everybody as well. We've been talking about, they do Aaron Rodgers so wrong because they are devoid of talent. They have no weapons on the outside. So where are you now, Aaron Rodgers? Where are you now, Green Bay Packers? You better hope that one of these veterans want to sign there. But why would they want to sign there? They don't know if the quarterback is going to want to come back next year.
Key, how much did the Adams-Rodgers relationship just run its course?
You know, from everything that I know, this all started a year ago with the Green Bay Packers and Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams wanted a long-term contract a year ago. The Packers were not willing to give him that. They franchise-tagged him, something that he and his representative certainly said that they didn't want to have happen, and they were not going to play on this deal. The Aaron Rodgers uncertainty certainly played a role in it, and having a relationship with Derek Carr and going back to the West Coast was a big factor in Devontae's decisions. He is still good friends with Aaron Rodgers. He just didn't mention him in the post.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. But if you're my good friend and you're one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I'm going to mention you in my goodbye letter.
And the big story from the NFL is still Deshaun Watson being traded to the Browns. Deshaun was acquired from the Texans along with a fifth-round pick for three firsts, a third, and a fourth. Cleveland thought they were out of the Deshaun sweepstakes until Deshaun Watson changed course on Friday. Here's Cleveland.com's Mary Kay Cabot on the roller coaster week for the Browns at quarterback.
I think that maybe they did underestimate how Baker was going to react to this. And I firmly believe that they intended, after Deshaun fell through, to have Baker come back and be their starting quarterback, even though he asked for a trade. I 100%, and I know for a fact that that was the plan. That was what they felt was going to happen. And, you know, they may have underestimated that there was no way that Baker felt he could come back and into this town again and play for the Cleveland Browns and work with Kevin Stefanski and all of those things.
Speaking of Baker Mayfield, Keyshawn J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, in fact. And here's the question, Key. Did Baker's reaction to the talk, just to the Browns, like approaching Deshaun Watson before any of this went down, right? Do you think his initial reaction when he posted on social media and everything get the Browns to go more all in on Deshaun because it seemed like the relationship with Baker was over?
No, I don't think so. I think in the end, from the start, from the outset, much like I said on our show that you've been working on for the last couple of weeks, right, as this continued to evolve, Max, and I said he'll never play for them again. It's not going to happen. Even if they don't get Deshaun, it's not going to happen because his feelings are involved. I think in the end, once Baker made the trade demands, it opened up a door, though, for Deshaun and his representatives to go back in there and say, I tell you what, if you give us a NHL deal, an NBA deal, a Major League Baseball deal, and you fully guarantee $230 million, he will switch from the Saints, he will switch from the Atlanta Falcons, and we can now make everything okay in Cleveland for you. But I need $230 million of guaranteed money. And they went ahead and said, okay. Because once Baker made that decision to ask for a trade, there was not going to be a Baker Mayfield sighting in Cleveland anymore. And they had nowhere else to go.
So Key, you are saying that the way Baker...
I can't hear you, Jay. Your mic's messed up.
You are saying the way that Baker handled it then affected the way that the situation went down, right? Essentially, right?
That's what you're second, saying. Not Max asked me about the first tweet out, not the last tweet out, which was the trade.
Okay.
The last tweet out is what forced them to go back in, not the first tweet out. Because after the first tweet, Deshaun made a decision that he wasn't going to play for the Cleveland Browns. The second tweet, when they didn't have anywhere else to go, but to go back to Deshaun and his camp, at that point, Deshaun and his camp realized that they are now in a bad situation, and the only way to fix it is give us what we need, which is $230 fully guaranteed.
Right. So in other words, in other words, and by the way, when the Browns released that statement, we're not going to accommodate the trade, and it looked like Deshaun was headed to New Orleans or else Carolina, I was thinking, well, Key got it wrong. But then the Browns came back and got, so now Baker's gone. But go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Deshaun to the Browns, the way that went down, it sounds to me like he is saying it went from Deshaun Watson distressed asset to Cleveland Browns distressed franchise. So the leverage shifted, and once it did, that actually made a deal possible.
Oh, absolutely. You could see it all day long, Max, right? I mean, He was not going to go to Cleveland originally. He was either stuck between Atlanta and New Orleans from everything I gathered. Then all of a sudden, the Baker Mayfield Once Deshaun in his camp told the Cleveland Browns he wasn't going to Cleveland, and then Baker Mayfield knew that and said, you know what, I'm not playing for y'all, publicly trade me, Deshaun in his camp then could go back in and say, tell you what, here's a good one. I got 230 million reasons why Deshaun would like to play for you guys.
Yeah,
but it has to be fully guaranteed.
Jay, I said Carolina. Key cleaned it up. Yeah, it's Atlanta. I'm at Atlanta.
And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's a situation where the Browns couldn't go nowhere else. They had to do this. I don't know if Atlanta would have done it, and I don't know if New Orleans would have done $230 million of fully guaranteed money. I don't know that.
Just feels like Baker Mayfield gave the Cleveland Browns the gift that they wanted. Now, we can talk about how you value that gift, but from the football perspective, the way he handled situations, and Chris Mortensen reported this, right? They want an adult in the room. Now, like I said, there's so many things to get into just off that. Like, Evan Wilner's jumping in my ear saying, Jay, say what you want to say. Like, I just, for me, ultimately, guys, like when – the Browns say, hey, we want an adult in the room. And then they go out and they sign him to the largest deal in the history of the NFL. And they backload it, understanding that they're going to get suspension. Like, it's just about winning football games.
The reason that you're
saying
that.
It's about winning football games. And just big business, you just want to win football games. Don't say you want an adult in the room. Like, who are you bringing in? Like, and I get that he wasn't indicted. And there's a lot of feelings that stir around this. But 22 people, man, there's a pattern. There's a pattern that's being displayed of behavior.
But maybe Deshaun is – maybe he – look, I agree with you.
This is my personal feeling. I'm not saying
22 separate women that you can't just go rush. It's not he said, she said. It's he said, she said, she said, she said, she said. I mean, at a certain point, come on. But do you think it's possible that he can compartmentalize behavior and that in the locker room, on the football field, in you know, et cetera, he can be an adult in the room in a way that Baker's not? Or are you saying this just has to do with the fact that Deshaun Watson is just a much better football player than Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, the latter. And he probably can compartmentalize it. And that's fine. I can't compartmentalize it. Me as the person, Jay Williams, the father, me, I can't. Now, I know that you win in this society – and people forget. People move on, right? And that's what the Browns are banking on. But to say all these things, essentially the way Baker's handled things, and I get it. He didn't put himself in the best position to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. But, he still fought for things. All these words that are used to describe how Baker was, then to go out and get Deshaun Watson, that just kind of disturbing to me internally. That's all. Mm. The way conversations are framed.
Key, what do you think about the Browns' public statements versus the reality?
You only can go off of their public statement, right? Because we know our reality. We know and we look at it. But based on what they said in their public statement is they vetted everything that was out there. Now, you're going to have others say that that wasn't the case. You only can believe what they say until we don't know anything else, right, Max? I mean, in the end... we'll know the truth in the end. They're the ones who's going to have to answer to it, Max.
Yeah. Jeremy Fowler is here giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Good morning, Jeremy.
Thanks, Max. Good morning.
What's up, brother?
How you doing?
So, like, you know, as you see, you walked into the thick of it, right? Like, how much did the way Baker handle everything force the Browns' hands, or at least influence them, in terms of their willingness to get back into the mix with the Watson offer?
It heightened the urgency, for sure. Now, the Browns probably were going to circle back anyways, because a lot of the parties involved knew that it was going to come down to that contract and what was guaranteed. But, you know, I talked to a league exec yesterday who was like, you know, Baker Mayfield might deserve a little bit of this contract from Deshaun because he got an aid because Baker comes out hot, says, I want out. And it just gave Browns all the more reason to say, okay, we have to do something here. You know, we have a good team. We feel like we can win now. And to Jay's point, I mean, that's really what all of this is about, is trying to win and get the right quarterback. And so, you know, these teams are desperate for that. And, it was a factor for sure. But they were, you know, everybody knew it was going to be about that guarantee and what you could do. In Atlanta, some other teams, they weren't comfortable with that.
Jeremy, what's been the feeling around the league as it relates to one of the biggest deals we've ever seen in the history of the NFL for Deshaun Watson to the Browns?
I think from team standpoints, I mean, they like to cry poor anyways. Oh, we don't have enough salary cap. We don't have enough money to pay good players. But there is a little bit of a concern that, like, okay, you got, you know, Lamar Jackson on deck. You got Russell Wilson now on deck with Denver that just gave up multiple first-round picks just to get this guy. Now you have to pay him, and it's a new standard, right? Like, are you going to take a penny less than the $46 million a year and fully guaranteed and all that Deshaun Watson's getting? And so, you know, look, I think these teams would rather have that problem to have a good quarterback. That means you actually have a solution there that you have to pay as opposed to the alternative. But, you know, the money's gotten so outrageous, I think that there's sticker shock around the league. And you got, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, those guys are going to be coming up. It's going to be astronomical financially.
Jeremy, what as we talked about this crazy deal,
yeah,
not only compensation in terms of the players and the picks, but what were the other teams willing to do, if you know at all, on the contract side of things?
Well, I know Carolina was – they didn't feel comfortable going all the way, like with the third and fourth year guaranteed because of what could happen with his case, right? Or if there's another instance that we don't know about, like they just didn't want to leave that wiggle room. Now – granted, Carolina wasn't – they were going to be the odd man out regardless. So maybe that's a little bit of posturing. But, you know, I think Atlanta's the surprising one because they had this pretty much wrapped up. I mean, he wanted to go there. That seems to be the sentiment, to the point where I was hearing he was, you know, having talks with Leonard Fournette and Jarvis Landry, guys who could join him in the short term to try to win in Atlanta right now. Like, that ball was moving. And so the fact that they didn't get that to the finish line, they probably – these are ownership discussions, right? When you're $200, $300 million in on a quarterback who has this background, you know, the owner's either going to push that through or he isn't. And so I think with Jimmy Haslam and the Browns, he was the one willing to go the furthest.
We're going to get to much more of this. We have Amber Wilson coming up at 7:15 a.m. Eastern. But, Jeremy, we're going to stay in the AFC North right now.
Yeah.
Because there's some other stuff we have to get to. Play a little hot news or not news.
My favorite game.
Lyle Collins signs with the Bengals, Jeremy. Hot news or not news?
I think it's hot news because we saw Joe Burrow get beat around all playoffs, 9 sacks in the game against the Titans. We know the ceiling of him and his team. So, you know, Lyle Collins is not the best tackle in the game. He's a good player. He's had some off-field issues in the past. Some teams didn't love him. But it speaks to a solution, which I think in the grand scheme of a AFC contender, it's important. So I'd say it's like lukewarm news.
Yeah, it's lukewarm news, hot news. Lyle Collins goes over there. But the funny thing about all this, Jeremy, if you remember after the Super Bowl, Zach Taylor talked about the offensive line wasn't that bad. Right. You just signed 3 offensive linemen, buddy.
It absolutely.
I would say hot news, Max. Yeah. What did you say Joe Burrow's completion percentage was?
It was second in the league when not pressured.
Okay. So, yeah, adding to your O-line. I like that. Hot news.
They had to.
I think it's hot news also because with all the offensive linemen in this draft, what the Bengals are sending the strong message is we don't have time to develop anything. We have everything in place. Joe Burrow's on his rookie deal. We're putting the line in now. We just made it to the Super Bowl. We're trying to win a Super Bowl now. Robert Woods to the Titans. Hot news or not news, Jeremy?
I'm going to go not news because this, you know, this is a player coming off an ACL. When's he going to be back to full form? You know, the Rams signing Allen Robinson, to me, that was the hot news. That kind of said, okay, we're resetting at that position. But we're still going to be active. We're still going to try to win this year. Like, you know, the Rams are clearly still all in. They're going to do Aaron Donald's contract here soon. They just redid Matthew Stafford's deal. So that move was signified to me more what the Rams are up to. Robert Woods is a really good player they liked, but just – they're trying to create some cash flow to be able to do the Aaron Donald deal and some of those other things. So they had to get the $10 million salary off the books. You know, Titans, does it change their trajectory? Probably not. I mean, it helps. He's a really good player. But I still think it's not news.
Yeah, it's not news to the Titans. It's hot news to the Rams, much like you said, Jeremy. They are now in talks to do and make Aaron Donald one of the richest players in NFL history. On top of that, they give that money, Robert Woods money, to Allen Robinson. They still got to do Cooper Kupp. They still got a lot of things to do. It's hot news for the Rams, not news for the Titans.
I'll say it's hot news for the Titans just because it keeps reminding me that Ryan Tannehill is still their quarterback.
If you don't have a killer quarterback, that's my thing. By the way, speaking of killers at quarterback, did Aaron Rodgers force his best offensive weapon out of Green Bay? That's next. Thanks, Jeremy. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 8.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.